is 1330 WRCA Watertown, Boston.
The snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles form. What do I care if icicles form? I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my gloves. I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire, the flame grows higher, so I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
Thanks for tuning in to Tube Talk. My name is Paul Burish, your friendly purveyor of radio palaver on WRCA 1330 AM on the glorious standard broadcast band we call AM, and also streaming on the internet. So, yes, gang, the show you've all been waiting for is here again this week. And while we have your attention here as we get things kicked off, we'd be remiss if we did not mention Radio 43, a very significant radio event up here in the Northeast, coming up February 19th at the Westford Regency Hotel, 8 a.m. to 12 noon, $10 admission. This is one of the biggest radio shows on the East Coast. Last year we had over 500 attendees, over 50 exhibitors. I had to park on the way over on the other side of the parking lot because it was jammed. And we're hoping for good weather, though it may be cold. We're hoping for some nice weather, so you might want to take a drive and come on out at the Westford Regency. They also are world-renowned for their they have a great brunch and breakfast, so that's not included in your $10, but they'd be glad to see you down there. And not far from Neshoba Valley either, so if you're from this area and you wanted to go out, do a little skiing, go out and get involved in the radio community, we'd love to see you, and it should be fun. It's a good show. Traditionally, I see license plates there from all over, and there's a good turnout, a lot of interesting radios change hands, and it's fun, so come on down. We'd love to see you. Little Artie Shaw here.
do I care? I don't know it's there. There's spring in my heart.
That was Artie Shaw with Peg LaCentra doing the vocal work. There's frost on the moon, and there'll be some frost on the moon this weekend. It's going to be cold up here. I hope wherever you are, it's nice and warm, perhaps sitting in a nice cozy parlor somewhere with a high tube count console playing, little warmth radiating out of the back of the set, all tucked in for the night. Another warm evening inside on a cold New England night. So, radios that light up in the dark and glow kind of give you that warm feeling inside. Anyway, I got an email from somebody, and you can email us at tubetalk1@gmail.com. And it was more of a question than a statement. You know, it wasn't really an opinion or something to be read on the air. But what they basically wanted to know is radio collecting just having old sets? And I guess, you know, for some people it is. And, you know, it's collecting, it's swapping, it's, you know, displaying them, restoring them, maybe. Some people just like to collect so that they have something to put on the shelf, you know, shelf queens. And, you know, from my own point of view, I am a radio enthusiast. So I'll answer the question from my own, you know, particular point of view. You could ask a lot of different people the question about, you know, what do they consider the radio hobby, quote unquote, and you'd probably get a lot of different answers. So here's my spin on it, and we'll leave it to you to see what you think. And if you have some of your own opinions as well, you know, let us know. We'll be glad to get them on. But, you know, I'm always interested and always have been interested by 30s and 40s history, films, fashion, just the whole lifestyle. I've always loved the theater of the mind shows, these mystery programs, detective shows, even some of the comedy shows. Certainly, you know, I like my comedians. I like my Jack Benny. And the music, the big band leaders, a lot of the music that if you listen to the lyrics gives you a little insight as to what, you know, was going on in the popular culture of the time. You know, I love that stuff. And I certainly do enjoy collecting radios. I like their styles. I like, you know, Art Deco dial with the nice, funky Art Deco numbers. Nothing better than that. You know, I love the old sets, their style. I like their sounds. I like to think about what they may have played, what significant events, whether historic or sports or, you know, whatever else may have come across, who listened to it. You know, they're little time capsules. And, you know, I still listen to radio, so I enjoy listening to my old sets. I like to look for interesting programs with music or different types of talk or topics that are, you know, the non-syndicated shows, something that's locally produced. And if you can find a nice music station where you can listen to some great old music on a nice AM set, well, you know, just nothing sounds better than that. And I still am interested in shortwave, though there's not quite as much content available on the shortwave bands as there once was. And while I'm not a ham radio enthusiast, I would say that I've always sort of admired the people who are. I mean, what a neat hobby to be able to speak with people, communicate with people thousands of miles away, make friends. You know, it's a beautiful thing, you know, sort of a pen pal electronically. And I know a lot of hams I talk to have great groups of people who help them troubleshoot problems, or, you know, they share stories about their lives, their kids, their jobs, their rigs, and it's a fun hobby. So not that I'm a big ham, I'm not an operator, but it's something that I definitely consider part of the radio hobby. And, I enjoy meeting people at swap meets or at shows or at any type of a gathering where radio might be the topic, just to talk to them, learn about their passions, their way of pursuing the hobby. Like to hear their stories about sets they've restored or how they found sets or how things were handed down to them, and find out, what radio means to them, because it means a little bit different things to different people. So I'm certainly always interested in hearing, and it just sort of broadens my horizons. And, again, that's why a great take like Radio 43 out in Westford is going to be fun. So there's my two cents. Once again, thanks for listening to Tube Talk. You have reached the Mount Everest, the summit of the radio world. This is the zenith of independently produced good radio experiences right here on WRCA 1330 AM and streaming on the WRCA website.
seven miles. While I'm drifting and dreaming, in the still of the night, my thoughts all stray to you. By the moon's mellow light, while the world is in slumber, oh, the times without number, darling, when I say to you, do you love me as I love you? Are you my life to be, my dream come true? Or will this dream of mine fade out of sight like the moon growing dim on the rim of the hill in the chill still of the night?
We're very pleased here at Tube Talk this week to have Alton Smith from Antique Radio Tubes on as a guest for our program this evening. Alton is down in Bogalusa, Louisiana, and his website is antiqueradiotubes.com. He was the proprietor of City Electronics for about 16 years or so. He has tubes for sale, as well as some radios. And I guess from what you were telling me, Alton, you're an active ham. And I really have to say I admire your little shack out there because it's nice and neat and organized. It's I'd love to hang out there. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Alton, maybe you can give the audience here a little idea. I know your website is antiqueradiotubes.com, and you do have tubes for sale. Before we get a little bit into your business, how did you get interested in radio? I know you were in the service. I believe you got interested in electronics probably before that, but you were in the Air Force, wasn't it?
Yes, I was in the Air Force in 73, right at the end of the Vietnam era, and I was in electronics and communication electronics, and one thing led to another, and it stuck with me all those years, and I finally one day just come in for work and decided to open my own business and work on radios and TVs for a living.
Now, when did you get interested in, did you get interested when you were younger as far as either interested into listening to radio or to becoming a ham, or did that all come out of your experience in the service?
No, I had a CB radio when I was 12 years old. And I had a license for it, and I can even remember the old call letters. It was KQR4277.
Wow, very impressive.
And I guess that's when the bug got me, when I was about 11 or 12 years old.
Well, you know, the CB radio craze, I mean, I can remember that in the 70s. I was small, but I can remember there were CB lingo notebooks and lunchboxes, and, you know, there were trucker shows on TVs, and it was a, you know, it was a way a lot of people got interested in communications, you know, even though it was you know, mobile communications. And what exactly were you working on when you were in the Air Force? Were you working on radio or radar, or what were you working on in planes?
It was radio and teletype stuff.
Well, that's very interesting. And when you started up your business, now where was that? We're located right in Bogalusa.
It was in Bogalusa from the word go, never left.
And how did you notice things, you know, because I understood you had some problems and, you know, the business had to close up shortly after Hurricane Katrina. But was business better first out of the gate? I mean, did you notice people started to lose interest in repairing things and were more interested in just throwing stuff out after a while?
It was really good during the 80s and the 90s, but as items became cheaper, people became less oriented to spending money repairing stuff.
Right.
Oh, when VCRs, for instance, first come out, they were $200 and $300. Yes, people would spend $50 to repair one. when they were $65 and $70 to repair them, they wouldn't even spend $20 to repair them. They'd throw them away. So as time went along and the cost of TVs and stuff went cheaper, it finally kept getting to a point where it's hard to make a living doing it. And then when we had Hurricane Katrina down here and it messed everything up, and I think it went, shoot, for 8 months down here, there was nothing going on. There was no kind of repair work or nothing. Everybody throwed everything away and bought new with insurance money. After that, it just totally went dead. There was nothing to do.
Now, when you were in your shops, I was just curious, did anybody ever bring in a radio for repair, or was it primarily television that was the main business?
Oh, no. I worked on stereos, radios, amplifiers, TVs. I worked on all of it.
Took a little bit of everything, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I was just curious because you have an impressive-looking ham shack here, and I'm not an active ham, but I have a couple of friends who are. Do you have any favorites in the communications receivers and some of these real big boat anchors? Anything that's you prefer one brand over another, or what's your favorite?
Well, on my HF rigs, I like Kenwood. I started out with the old tube gear and the Kenwood, and I worked my way up, and I finally got a hold of a Kenwood TS-940, and I like that radio better than I do any radio I've owned. Now, as far as boat anchor stuff, I like the Hammerlin stuff myself. As far as receivers, they're real good receivers.
Yeah, because you see, everybody has their little favorite. I have a pal up here who's worked on some Collins equipment before, and I saw an R390 that was up for sale, and the folks who had it up online had a great little story with it. You know, it had been through, I guess, in the service, they had used them in several different wars that had gone on, and I had no idea, but apparently in the first Desert Storm operation, they were having some issues with some of the solid-state communications equipment, and this fella had posted up a little story that they actually dusted off some of the Collins equipment. I don't know if they actually used it or they were just planning on using it, but they said, you know what, we bet this stuff would work. And, you know, he had the case open, you know, the cover off the back of the Collins, and I have to say it was just very impressive stuff. You know, and a lot of, you know, the ham gear seems, from what some people tell me, if you have access to the AM band on your ham set, they're great for DXing. I don't know what your experience was with that.
I have never done the AM side. I've been wanting to get a transmitter to do the AM side, but they're slightly hard to come by down here. They're too heavy to ship, and if you don't buy it locally, you can't get it, and they're not easy to come by. And the Collins gear, I wished I could own some of it. I never found nothing reasonably priced yet to afford in my budget range.
Now, what's the most distant contact you've made in your ham life?
Australia.
Very good. I had a friend whose dad was a very active ham, and he had a bunch of local friends. You know, they all were pals, and they'd get together and then meet every now and then and compare stuff and help each other, you know, with their benches and the like. But he had friends from all over the world. He had a little list of all their call signs and, you know, different guys, and he was active for many, many years, and it was always amazing to me, you know, you sort of like a pen pal type of thing. You know, he knew who was married, who had kids, what the kids were up to, and it seemed like a real fun hobby as far as getting to know people. And you know, it seemed like a nice group, you know, people who were willing to support each other, help them with problems. If you were having issues with your antenna or you're having some other kind of issue with your rig, everybody seemed helpful as far as trying to give you some advice.
It's still that way today out here, even locally or anything. I would say the ham radio hobby is one of the few hobbies that I've been into where people don't mind trying to help somebody else. It's a very free, open thing that if they can do it, they'll help you.
Now, I know you're a tube salesman, and I saw you had some sets as well that you've worked on that you had for sale on antiqueradiotubes.com. When did you start up the website? How long have you been in the tube business?
I've had tubes for 30 years out here, and when I finally, in the last couple of years, I got hurt in an accident, car wreck, and got really disabled. I've had several surgeries trying to get over it. But I sort of got in the tube thing to be able to support my radio hobby. I love buying radios. I love rebuilding them, and I take what I got out here in tubes to sell to buy the radios I look for. It's more of a hobby than what I call a business, but it is a business, if you know what I mean. But to me, it's just pure enjoyment.
Well, you have a very sharp sight, and I enjoyed seeing your collection, because you have some shots there of your you were telling me you have a separate building where you house your ham equipment and your radios. But I was looking, we were talking yesterday, we were discussing having you on the show, and I saw that Zenith C835, I think it is, that AM-FM rig. Do you have any favorites on domestic consumer radios? Do you have any favorite manufacturers? Are you fond of Zeniths, or do you like RCA over Philco, or what's your favorite brand?
I like the Zenith myself when it comes to the later production radios in the 40s and the 50s. Now, if you go back in the 20s and 30s, it's a different era brand back then. I sort of like to add Water Kent and the older stuff. I've been fooling with one recently, and it's a real nice radio. So I sort of like those. I'd like to give me a breadboard radio, but I don't think I'll ever come by one of those down here. I've been looking for a while and can't find one.
And I saw you had some nice European sets as well. What's your favorite on the European side? They have beautiful sound.
Ooh, that's a tough one there, because they all that sound real good. That's a good toss-up question there, and I don't think there's a shade difference between all of them. I would guess Telefunken's good, Grundig's good, Philips is good. There's several of them out here that's real good, and they all sound good. They learn how to make radios without having to go overboard on tubes to get quality out of them.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I guess radio hung on a little longer in Europe than it did over here, where the emphasis kind of shifted in the 50s and 60s right over to television. And, the Zeniths, Zenith was sort of a holdout, I guess, because they still made some pretty nice AM-FM sets right into the 60s. But the other manufacturers really kind of fell off quite a bit. So I'd say Zenith and in my European sets are some of my favorite, especially for the AM-FM. And I noticed you had quite a few consoles out there as well, which is something you don't always see a lot of collectors with, because they take up so much room. Which is your favorite on the console side of things?
Oh, I love the looks of a Zenith, but honestly, I think a Philco sounds just as good as a Zenith does, if not better to a degree, but the looks of the console itself, I think the looks of a Zenith is better. But I sort of like the sound of a Philco myself over the Zenith.
Now, did you find one brand was particularly more easy than another to work on, or did it kind of vary depending on what the model was and what the style was?
It varies to the model and style.
Yeah.
I guess the hardest thing about it is getting the literature you need on that particular model to know what you're doing with and being able to find the parts. If the literature is available and the parts are available, it's readily not that hard to work on, and that's pretty much none of them. But not all of it out here you can get literature on or the parts for them. You have to do a lot of improvising.
Yeah, you have to be willing to look deep, and there's a good website. I don't know if you've ever run across it, called Nostalgia Air, and there's a bunch of guys who keep it up. And what they do is they scan in, riders' photo facts, and they scan anything. There's a lot of information on the site, and it goes by manufacturer. You don't always find every set you're looking for, but I guess they scrounge the stuff up either from their own collections or from radio shops that closed. And they, I guess a lot of people go in and we're just interested in taking radios or parts or tubes. But I guess something that's just as valuable as all of that is probably the service literature. If you get your hands on that, it's a real gold mine.
Oh yeah, and I'm gonna be honest with you, they have probably the most up-to-date site for manuals and schematic service literature there is. I use them all the time. That's generally the first site I go to look for them.
Now, are you still a radio listener? Do you listen to commercial radio at all? What's on down in Louisiana? Up here, we've got all these networks now that own most of the big AM stations, and you get all these syndicated programs. Is there anything on that's, you get any good music stations down there, or somebody who does independent programming where you still get something a little bit different, something that has some local flavor to listen to, or is it all taken over by all these big conglomerates?
It's getting taken over down here. We had what was called the Oldies Channel down here, the TOC, and it just went off, and Fox News took it over. And I really hated that because I listened to that more than anything there was. There is maybe five or six really good FM channels left down here, but they're getting less and less and less. Everything now is going away from music and more talk on it than anything.
Which is really kind of a shame because a lot of us collectors, there's nothing like the sound of some nice music on a, especially if you have a console with a nice speaker, or if you have you know, one of those nice European sets you were mentioning, or a nice Zenith. You know, it just gives it a different sound when you hear the music on a tube set. And it's hard for a lot of people to understand until you bring them over to your house and you make them listen to it. There's it just has a different tone to it, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, and even the audio equipment that's out there, the tube stereo amplifiers and stuff, it's a world of difference than this newfangled stuff they got here today. The older stuff sounds way better. It's got a more mellow tone to it, a warmer feeling, I guess you might say, to the sound of it. I still like things that glow in the dark. I haven't made the transformation to this new stuff yet.
Well, you know, I'm with you on that. And, you know, the other thing we talked a little bit about before, you know, talking on the air is a lot of the modern radio, as you go to a Walmart or a chain store or whatever, they don't pick up a heck of a lot of stations. You know, you generally wind up getting just your locals. But if you wanted to try to pick something up from a distance, or, you know, you get a lot of static, you get a lot of hiss, there doesn't seem to be any spread on the dials with some of this stuff. You know, you're running one station over the other, and, you know, it just doesn't sound that good. And, it's probably because they try to make it as cheap as humanly possible and pay the people nothing who make it. And they use the cheapest, you know, components and parts that they can possibly find. And there's nothing like a nice old set made in the USA from the 30s or 40s for listening to music, huh?
Oh, definitely. I totally agree with you 100%. And there is a side out here that a lot of people don't know. And I have to go out here a lot of times nighttime and listen to the shortwave music side after about 6 o'clock at night. Shortwave bands really open up at nighttime. And you can get a lot of different music out here on the shortwave bands, just like you can on the FM bands, but it don't open up to nighttime to listen to. And they have good music out there on the shortwave bands at nighttime.
Well, you know, there was I had a fellow on who is a ham. He's a member of my club up here in New England, and we were talking a little bit about there's not quite as much as shortwave. You know, when I was a kid, there was still all those old communist country stations, you know, with all the propaganda and everything. But there's a station that comes in particularly good up here. It's Radio Romania, I believe, Bucharest. And they were playing some music. They were having some special birthday celebration for a composer. And, you know, on shortwave, it's surprising because, you know, if the conditions are right, I mean, boy, did the music sound great. And, you know, it was something different to listen to. You don't usually hear sort of orchestral-type music, you know, on shortwave as much as you used to.
Well, I definitely agree. It's changed a lot compared to what it used to be. And I guess it's like any of the rest of it. It's like AM in the early days was good, then it went to FM, and to me, it's all phasing out. Radio is, I'm not sure in the next 10 years, radio ain't going to be an almost a dead thing unless you go to this new HD radio or satellite radio.
Well, you know, I do know a few people, and what they'll do is, you know, there are still some stations, and it might be a good topic to have on the show. I should probably try to come up with a listing or ask my listeners to email me in with some call signs. There are some stations that still play good music. A lot of them play 40s, 50s, 60s music, but you have to find them, and you have to be lucky enough if they stream on the Internet, because then if they stream on the Internet, I know there are some folks who have a way to get that signal into a little home AM transmitter. Then they'll play it all over their house. You know, they can kind of have their own choice. But those stations, like we were talking about, are really kind of drying up. So, and I was surprised you were telling me that there's not as many radio clubs down in Louisiana. I know there's a few down in Texas, but not too many other collectors down in your neck of the woods, huh?
Well, there's not as many as they once used to be. At one time, there was a lot of that stuff down here, but now it's not as common as it used to be. People just don't do it no more. Well, one of the issues is the stuff down here. There's not a lot of parts down here no more. Radios were never common in this part of the country to begin with, except for the small and expensive type. Most of the good radios were all in the northern part of the country where they were manufactured at, and really the people could afford them better. You can find a lot of stuff up there where you can't find it down here.
Yeah, and I know there were a lot of issues, too, you know, in the late 30s and 40s where, you know, people might have had a farm radio that worked on a battery, but they didn't have, you know, they did, before rural electrification, there were a lot of parts, you know, of the South and out in the West and the Midwest where they didn't have, you know, they used to call it the highline current.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
true.
And it's interesting, though, too, because I get a kick out of it. Sometimes you look through those old radio catalogs or the old Sears catalogs, and you see people had little windmill setups. And everybody thinks about wind power now like it's something brand new idea that we just came up with. Well, people have been using that for years, and they used to use it to power their battery sets, and they also would charge up their batteries. They'd run some lights in their barn or on their farm or some other equipment. And that was the, you know, you had to be self-sufficient and independent because you didn't have the luxury of having central power.
You could be as surprised at how many batteries it took to run them old battery radios back in them days. A lot of them took 22-volt batteries to run one part of it, 60-volt batteries to run the other part, and a volt-and-a-half battery to run the filament of the tubes a lot of times. It took several types of batteries to set up to do them old radios.
Well, you know, I wouldn't want to be the person either who left the room and left the radio on and drained those things down, because when money was tight in the 30s and 40s, you wouldn't want to have to go out and get some new ones. And if you left that radio on and you blew out a tube or you drained down the batteries, you weren't going to be a very popular person in your house, I wouldn't think.
No, not in them days it wouldn't. But then back in them days, too, batteries, I think, lasted a lot longer than they do today.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of things were made a little bit better, but I guess also as we make things more environmentally friendly and all, maybe they don't last quite as well. You know, the thing that strikes me is I know a few people who actually collect the old batteries, and I had a guy who gave me some. I didn't really save them, but I clipped off some of the artwork and some of the labels and some of the logo. There were some old RCA batteries that were made for the battery sets. But when he gave me them, you know, nothing was leaking. And, you know, now sometimes if you left a few D-cells in an older radio and you hadn't played it in a while, you go back and the things, the battery compartment's all covered and it's leaky and it's a big mess. These things had to be 60, 65 years old, and there were no leaks. They actually looked pretty good. They didn't have any charge left in them, but they weren't a mess like some of the ones today if you don't play them for a while.
Things held up better the way they used to make them compared to now. I'll go back and say it like this. I can take a radio from the 20s and it takes very little to make it work. You might hear and take a radio and they make now and something happens to it. Your chances of fixing that radio are not very good.
Yeah, that's why I guess it's a disposable society. Alton, I appreciate you. I'm glad you could come on the show. It was great to get your perspective on your end of the radio business and your end of the collecting hobby. I appreciate you being on. Thanks very much. Have a great night, Alton.
You too. And tell your fans out there that if they want to find some good old channels to listen to, tell them to go to trueoldies.com.
Trueoldies.com. Very good.
Yes, and they list the stations all across the country that broadcast just the oldies from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Well, you know, I got to go do that myself. And if anybody wants to visit your website, antiqueradiotubes.com, that's the URL, isn't it, Alton?
That is correct, sir.
Very good. Hey, have a good night. Thanks again for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and you have a good one, too. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
flown around the world in a plane. I've settled revolutions in Spain, and the North Pole I have charted. Still I can't get started with you. On the golf course, I'm under par. Metro-Goldwyn have asked me to star. I've got a house, a show place. Still I can't get no place with you. Cause you're so supreme. Lyrics I write of you, I dream, dream day and night of you, and I scheme just for the sight of you. Baby, what good does it do? I've been consulted by Franklin D. Greta Garbo has had me to tea. Still I'm broken hearted, cause I can't get started with you.
A 1937 recording, Bunny Berrigan and his orchestra, and Bunny Berrigan handling the vocal work.
None so fair. Here in my poor heart, none.
Martha, Martha, that was Larry Clinton and his orchestra, with B. Wayne handling the vocal work. And once again, we'd like to thank you for listening to Tube Talk on WRCA, 1330 AM. We have an email address set up for the show. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, your ideas. We welcome all your feedback. Tube Talk, the number one, at gmail.com. TUBETALK, the number one, at gmail.com.
If I didn't care more than words can say, if I didn't care, would I feel this way? If this isn't love, then why do I thrill? And what makes my head go round and round while my heart stands still? If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
If I didn't care, honey child, more than words can say. If I didn't care, would I feel this way? Darling, if this isn't love, then why do I thrill so much? And what is it that makes my head go round and round while my heart just stands still so much?
If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
Thanks again for listening tonight. We wish you all a good night, and we hope to see you again next week.